But it's great for me to be here. What a blessing for Debbie and I to be back. Back-to-back Sundays. Now, last week there was a promise of chicken legs. I don't know where we're going to go today. What's that place in Pete? Maybe go over there. Sweet peas. There's hope. Because I know there wasn't anything on the stove when I left this morning. But what a joy to be here and to share with you. And second time in this pulpit since I've been director of missions. Been quite a while, but a privilege to be here. When your pastor Mark called me, told me that he was going to be with his dad on his 70th birthday. This is what I told him. What I would give for 1 hour with my father. Amen. I miss him so much. A man of God influenced my life. We've had such a great time together. Mark and I have a good fellowship, good relationship. And I want to encourage you to keep that man here as your pastor. I've been around many, many, many years, and I've met some fine guys, and he's one of them. So encourage him. Don't let him go anywhere. Keep him here, all right? It's cheaper to keep him. You know that old song? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding you. Now, he would laugh. I praise the Lord for him and for you and for letting me come be here. And Mark, you know, if you think he can preach, you ought to hear him eat. I was sitting near him, but not close the other day, last Sunday. I could hear him over there talking and eating. We have a great time together. I know there were some kids here. Some are still in here. And I always like to share with kids. Debbie's in the Anderson District 1, worked with a lot of children. You have some teachers here. So occasionally, you'll know what I mean when I say they have a day when they bring in, it's like Occupation Day, what do you call it? Career Day, thank you. And they had a career day. I'm not sure where the school was. I don't think it was Anderson District 1. But on this particular career day, a priest came in, a Catholic priest came in. They brought in all the first and second graders, and they were letting them get ready. And there was about 40, 50 of them out there. And then the priest finally came up. And, you know, the kids were spying that collar he was wearing. There he was with the black shirt and white collar. And so to start off his talk with these children, he said, does anybody here know what this collar means? Well, there's a little boy just going like this. Just going like that. So he pointed him out. He said, son, what's your name? He said, my name is Billy. He said, well, Billy, do you know what this collar means? He said, yes, I do. He said, well, what does it mean? He said, it means you're not going to have fleas and ticks for 3 months. Well, kids tell it like it is, don't they? And I just want to be like a kid again. We should be like that, honest and open, and just say what we think. There was a bunch that went to the museum down in Columbia. You know, every year probably they take kids groups from the schools to the museum, or some museum. They were down there and they had an exhibit from England there, and they were going through the. The curator was giving the speeches about all the stuff. You know, I remember going to the museum, State Museum in Columbia, and they had a mummy back then. It was interesting. But I guess this gal had gotten a little bit long and boring, and one little boy was standing there with his hand on a table like this, just standing there. He had put his hand on this table. And the curator stopped and said, son, please take your hand off that table. That table goes back to Henry VIII. And he said, oh, don't feel bad. He said, if Mama don't make the payment on our refrigerator, it goes back to Sears and Roebuck the 15th. Think about it. Times have changed, haven't they? You know, I remember when some of you can remember when you milked your own cow, but I remember when we put our bottles on the front step and the milkman changed them out, brought milk to our house, and an ice truck came by. The times were so much simpler back in those days. Things have changed so much around us, and we're living in a day that's really unusual. But you know, the Bible addresses the times that we live in. And it's amazing when you read in the scripture I'm going to share with you. In fact, you can find it if you want to in Romans 13. Go ahead and turn to that. You would not believe. Almost if you had never read the Bible, didn't know anything about it, not gone to church all of your life, that Paul was writing this almost 2,000 years ago. But today, he was writing to the church, and I want to share with the church today. And hope that God will speak to you through this. Now, Paul's in prison in Rome. He's writing to a church that he never got to ever go see. He never got to go and preach to the church. Yet he was a missionary, and he supported the church. He encouraged the church, and he wrote some things that were hard for the church to swallow. And you got to imagine a people living in one of the most dominant, harsh regimes in history, the Roman Empire. Here was a group of Christians, smaller than we are here this morning, trying to follow Jesus Christ in a time where they could be crucified for doing so. Literally. And this is the church that Paul was writing to in chapter 13. And I could hardly ever preach the lower half of this message without sharing the first part of it, because it sets the context a little bit for us. So let me read and explain through the first part. It's not a very long chapter, but then we'll get to the meat of the message. I hope will really encourage you to be people of God. But look what he says, chapter 13. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Now, folks, let's put this in context to the time in which we're living. When I read that and look at our news and I think of what may be coming just in a few days, we as Christians, we want to try to get control of what's going on today, don't we? We want to. I don't know if we can except through prayer and faith, I would like to. But think about that. I've shared this with my Indonesian friends who lived, and we lived just two or three doors from a mosque. The governing authorities that control what we did and what we gave and what we had to pay and the folks and my neighbors around us was the Islamic government of Indonesia, the largest Muslim country in the world. And when I read and taught this in that context, my Indonesian believers that came to our Bible study in our house could hardly fathom. Yes, I must submit to the authorities here. We're Americans. And listen, let's go on and see what it says. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Now, I stop right there just to remind you, don't worry. I know we worry, we're concerned, we're praying about this election, but let me remind you, as Paul has 2,000 years ago, God is in control. He is in control of America. He is in control of this world. He is in control of every authority on the earth. And one day, when this world is over and the Lord returns and the church is gone and all this is over, the Bible says that all the kings and the kings of kings and princes will lay their crowns at the foot of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is in control. Let me go on. I'm not even supposed to be preaching this part. I'm supposed to just read this part to you, but I can't help it. I'm not even kin to Mark Spearman. Consequently, he who rebels against the authorities are rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. I've told youth groups many, many times, if you don't control yourself, somebody will control you. Amen. Let me go on. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an angel of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Never thought about it that way, have you? Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who will give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And very often in Indonesia, we had to deal with the authorities. Sometimes folks from the mayor's office would come out. Folks would find out we were there, and they would come out. And we had to deal with them. And we did what they asked and paid what they asked us to pay. And we got along well. But that gave us the opportunity to be free to share Jesus Christ. Now, here's the message today. I'm going to move along. He says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law, the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And here we go. He says this now to the church, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness. Now, folks, as I read these next few words, remember this is 2,000 years ago. And he's speaking to the Christian church that's just being started and formed in Rome. The night is nearly over, the day is almost there, so let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime. Not in orgies and drunkenness. Not in sexual immorality and debauchery. Not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Pray with me a minute. Father and Lord, by your Spirit, I pray that you'd help us to understand the words of this message, and help me, Lord, by your Spirit, to convey what you'd have me to say today. Lord, bless this church. Thank you for it. The people that make it up. Wonderful, wonderful people who love you. I pray today we'll get a vision of what it is you've called us to do in this life. And I thank you for your help today and for your Spirit's presence. In Jesus' name, I ask. Amen. Let me read you an excerpt. This may shock you. A historian doing research realized that about every 200 years, the democracies that have existed throughout history failed about every 200 years. And as I read this, think that America is somewhere, 243 maybe years. We're overdue. We're past. And this is the progress. This is how each of those nations progressed from their beginning to their demise. He found out that they went from bondage to spiritual faith. They went from bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. Remember America? From courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance. From abundance to selfishness. From selfishness to complacency. From complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, and from dependency back again to bondage. Every civilization has progressed through that. And when I read that, and I thought, you know, he's on track. He's been doing some thinking. He's been doing some observation. And then it began to worry me. And I began to pray, Lord, what must we do as a church of God in today's time? Paul told us 2,000 years ago, the Spirit of God, I believe, is telling you today and me today, church today, we must wake up. We must wake up. I'm going to tell you what I think that means. I heard an old preacher say, if you took everybody that went to sleep in church and laid them end to end on the pews, they'd rest better. It's kind of funny when you think about it, but I just wonder if we're really alert and awake. We come by a habit so many Sundays of our life, day after day, we participate. And yet I wonder if we're truly alert and if we're truly awake. We are in the evangelistic age. We're in the New Testament age. We're in the days of the Injil. Even our Muslim brothers understand what the Injil is. That's the gospel. We're in the days of the gospel. We are the gospel evangelistic church. That's who we are. And every Christian should be a witness in the community. That's you. And that's me. You realize that we require our missionaries. We require IMB, whom we support, whom you support, and we send missionaries, and we were two of those. They ask us to make a personal witness five times a week, minimum. And then when we were in training 2 months in Richmond, they saw to it that they'd drop us off. We had to go to Walmart. We had to go to town. And there we would share tracts that would introduce conversation with the people we did not know in the large cities. They even took us to Washington, D.C., dropped off 200 of us in D.C. We had to ride the subways and go to the parks and find people and share the gospel, making sure that before they got on a plane and go overseas, they knew what they were here for. And yet when I did that, when we did that, and they taught us, this is the role of the church, the Christian today. We need to wake up and realize that God, the Bible, literally, the Spirit of God, literally means for us to be a witness in this world. And I know how difficult that seems to some people, and I hope to help you with that in just a few minutes. God blesses obedience in that regard. I promise you, God blesses your obedience as a child of God with regard to witnessing. We have witnessed to thousands of people of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hundreds of them. Now, I came this April, be 4 years I've been in that office up there, which I'm not an office sitter. I don't know. I get in there and I'm lost. I'm not a good administrator. But I love to tell the story. So when Operation Care is open on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. On Mondays and Wednesdays, I get in that lobby and we present the gospel. Not just food, we present the gospel to a crowd of people waiting on food. And that's what I think I should be doing. We have used in excess of 500 of these tracts around Anderson County. We carry them, we use them, and that initiates conversation. These tracts open the doors. And what happens is, these people may not get saved. They may not actually accept Christ, even though several have. Many have. The last four, and I could stand here if I had time. I could tell you stories, several stories. I could give you 10 stories of folks who have accepted Christ. When Debbie gave a track, went to the trailer park, went somewhere, sitting on the wall at Operation Care in front of my office, leading people to Christ with these tracks. So we order them. They come about 250 to a box. I probably ordered 1,000. So we're probably over 1,000 of these personally handing them to somebody in Williamson and Pels. I don't tell you that to brag. I tell you that to brag on Jesus, that these people took it and they went home and read it. And they have no excuse someday when they stand in front of Almighty God that somebody didn't tell them about Jesus. Now what has happened? I don't know if all those people, some of them have joined some of the churches in the association. And the pastors get notified. If I'm at Dollar General and I'm talking to somebody, and I say, do you have a church? And they say, well, no, I don't. I say, hold on a minute. I can call Barry Garrett down there first. I can call Randall. I can call, so here, talk to this person. Now, these guys know when I call them, hello, you got about a minute? Yeah, well, they know. I've told them. If I call you at an odd time and say, talk to this person, then get ready, you're going to witness somebody and invite them to your church. I just hand them the phone. And there's all of a sudden they're talking to a pastor. Now, could you do that? You better believe it. You got Mark on speed dial. I hope this week that he'll get 49 calls from you and say, talk to this person. I hope he'll get some from me. God blesses it. Now, those people may not show up here, but what I believe happens is God will bless the church and there'll be growth. There'll be growth. We did this in a revival in Greenwood. We knocked on every door in the Mill Village down there west side. I mean, every door in that village before the week was over. 17 people walked down the aisle. Not a one of them was anybody we'd knocked on the house. Not a one of them. The pastor knew these people. He said, I don't know where they're coming from. They were invited to the services. Somebody said, they're having a service up there. You should go. And they walked down the aisle, got saved, and they baptized 17 people. Now, I'm just saying, God blesses obedience, so why wouldn't we do it? Let me tell you, I worked with a guy named Laverne Hancock. Debbie and I served with him. He pastored at one time down near Lake City. They had a citywide revival under a tent with an evangelist named Cyclone Mac. Boy, wouldn't you love to have heard Cyclone Mac preach? I can just imagine a guy whirling around the pulpit preaching the gospel. He was that way. He was a fireball. I'd heard of him, but never did get to hear him preach. But they had him preaching the citywide revival. They had a visitation program in the churches before that tent revival. They had cards of names of people in the city for the church members to visit. One night prior to the revival, WMU director of Laverne's church showed up. She was late, and there was only a card left. And another lady arrived, and she recognized her, and she said, well, there's only one card left. You want to go together? And she said, I'll go with you. Whose name is on the card? And they picked it up, and she said, oh, no. I said, why? What's the matter? She said, it's old lady Sadie. Old lady Sadie was the meanest woman in town. This is a true story. This is not made up. Everybody knew it. And that's why old lady Sadie's card was left last on that table. Well, they had signed in that they had arrived for visitation, so they had to go. And they went and knocked on old lady Sadie's door, and they thought, well, did you hear anything? No, let's go. Well, they heard somebody coming. Door opened. She said, yes. And the lady who was the WMU director said, Miss Sadie, I have a revival in town. Just wondered if you'd like to come. If you'll come, we'll sit with you. Well, I don't know if I got time for that. Saw that in the paper. I don't know if I got time for that. Well, would you just please come? And if you will, look for us, and we'll look for you. If you can come tonight, it'd be great. Well, I don't know. She shut the door. They got back in the car. That was their expected response. Spirit moved on old lady Sadie. They told the pastors they'd been to see her. And they said, you invited her? And they said, we did. Miss Sadie walked in that tent that night. She heard Cyclone Mac preach. The Holy Spirit ripped her heart out. When she walked the aisle, people stood up. She got saved, Lake City. And this is Laverne Hancock's testimony. He said, I was there, helped preach at her funeral. And the funeral director told me her life had been so changed that she had helped so many people and loved so many people in that town that was the largest attendance at any funeral they'd ever had. They could remember. Is it worth it? It made a difference in that lady's life. It made a difference in that church. They had a great revival. Let me tell you something. We got to wake up. It is our job to be a witness. Folks, today, one of our problems is we're not right. We're not right. We need to straighten up. That's what Paul said. We need to wake up. Then he said, let's lay aside the deeds of darkness. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the Romans. He's talking to the Christian church, where if they did what he said, they could possibly be killed. But he told them, we've got to straighten up. Let me tell you what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to find those whose heart is faithful to Him. That's a fearful verse for me. I just see the eyes of the Lord scanning the earth, and He comes across my life. And there's times When I walked out of Burger King, didn't do it. There's times when I fell short. We're human. But our main goal in life is the Church of God and members of White Plains Baptist Church and Palmetto Baptist Association. Our main goal, as you'll hear in a little bit, is to do that very thing. But I'm so afraid that we're just not right. The Word of God shocks us sometimes, folks. In Revelation, the Lord reminds the churches, I know thy works. Those four words scare me to death sometimes. I know thy works. Another time in the book of Matthew, the Lord speaking to crowds. And he said to them, why do you call me Lord? And you don't do what I ask you to do. Well, that shook me too. I heard about a man who came down the aisle in a church service. And he came to the altar and took the pastor by the hand. And this is what he said. Accidentally, he said, my sin is full of life. And he said, I'm sorry. I meant to say my life is full of sin. The pastor thought later, he probably said it more correctly in that Freudian slip. My sin is full of life. And folks, sin is creeping in to the world around us. And it worries me that we are becoming accustomed to sin. Paul says to the church, don't be trapped by sin. I can hardly watch TV anymore. And we've got, what is that, DirecTV? More channels. If we'd had that many channels when I was growing up, I would have never got outside and become Tarzan. I was Tarzan one time. Y'all didn't know that? Also, Roy Rogers. I was Roy Rogers. I would never have done, but now the world just dumped out into the carpet in front of our couches in our living room. And I honestly believe that Satan controls Hollywood. I have to watch ETV. I've got an old guy that lived in Alaska 34 years and built his own cabin. I've watched that how many times now? 10? I've watched the same show 10 times. There's a lot of stuff you just can't watch. Let me just say this. I got a phone up here. Goodness. This can't be Mark's pulpit because time flies up here. will you relax just a minute and let me finish this? I'm in the hunting business. Some of you may not know that or understand that. I've been in the ministry and hunting business for years. I operate a hunting preserve, about half of the year, and I do this bivocationally. Not easy, but I do it. Try it. In the winter months, it's what I do. On the preserve, we had a problem with predators, foxes, so I called a master trapper. This master trapper came. He was president of the South Carolina Trappers Association. He came, began to set traps. I went and videoed. I was amazed at the guy's talent to set a trap to fool a fox. And you got to do it right to fool a fox. But that morning he came, he dug the hole at an angle like a fox digs, puts this awful smelling bait in there. I could hardly stand it, but he said, oh, foxes love that. And then over in front of the bait, he set the trap, put it on a post with a chain. He covered that thing so expertly you could hardly tell anything was there. And then he took a stick and he laid the stick right in front of the trap. And I said, what's that stick for? He said, oh, that fox won't step on that stick. He's too smart. He won't step on that stick, but he'll step over it. I said, so we come back here in the morning, there's going to be a fox in this trap? And he said, probably not. I said, why? He said, because that old fox will be tempted. He'll come up this road, and he'll know there's something different there. He might even think another fox has been here and been digging around, but he'll stop, but he'll walk around this thing for maybe an hour or two. He'll look at it, and he'll sniff. But he's probably not going to step in that thing, but he's going to be so tempted. I said, so the next morning, second morning, we come back, and he'll be in it? And he said, no. Average would be about the third morning. He said, two nights, he'll walk around this and he'll smell that bait and he'll want it so bad. But he just can't figure out why this is here all of a sudden. But he said, I'm going to tell you that third night. He's going to walk up. He's going to start to just step over that stick. And not going to think about it, but that bait is going to be so attractive that finally he's going to step over that stick. And he does. He's caught. The Bible says so many people, so many men, so many women, so many kids are caught. As a bird is caught in a net. And it's over. I'm telling you, we're getting accustomed to sin. And it's scaring me. It's worrying me. If there's sin in your life, stop it now and don't do it again. Who said that, by the way? Jesus said that. With grace and mercy, he looked into this lady's eyes, caught in adultery, and said, don't do it anymore. Go your way. Can you live without sinning? It won't hurt us to try. It won't hurt to try, and it sure will help. My uncle didn't like trespassers. He had a beautiful place to hunt. Guys would slip in there, and finally he had a sign made by professionals, and he put it on the post. I'll never forget seeing it the first time. It said this, warning, the next sound you hear will be your last. I actually was in a deer stand when I saw a guy pull up there and get out and go around, and he was thinking about coming in there to hunt, and he saw that sign, and he backed up like this and got in his truck and left. He might have known my uncle. He was pretty rough. Adults, if you were called home today and the next sound you heard was your last, would you be all right? Are you ready? Have you shared with people like you should have? Young folks, young adults, listen to me today. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I've never seen anything like it, what kids are going through. And I want to encourage you today, straighten up. Straighten up. We all go through phases. When I was 16 years old, you could put my brain in a mustard seed and it'd roll around like a peanut in a boxcar. I'm serious. And you know what I'm talking about. We didn't have any sense. James Dobson says it takes a human brain 21 years to mature. Now, we raised two kids. I've moved that up to 30. Huh? Somebody said amen. We all make mistakes. And I don't care what you've done. God's grace will forgive you. And he will use you for his glory. We need clean and committed Christians today. Our mission field is desperate for young adults to come and preach the gospel around the world. 7 billion people lost who will not have an understandable presentation of the gospel where they can be saved. Oh, how we need to start here and go on. You need to wake up and need to straighten up. Last thing, I'll be done. Paul said we need to suit up. This is what Paul said. He put it this way, put on the armor of light. Now, some of you may have been in the military. What would that look like on the battlefield? Everybody else is in camo and hay sticking out of their helmet and they're trying to hide. And here's this dude in an armor of light standing there. What do you think? I was at a church in Seneca last week and asked the men that. And one of the guys was in the military. He said he'd be shot first. And I said, exactly. Paul is calling for people, for men, women, boys, girls, young people, young adults, to put on the armor of light. He's saying, I want you to be visible. You cannot win the world from a padded pew. And if I open that door and begin to scream and open the windows and begin to yell to the community, we love you, we love you, we love you. You think many would just stop what they were doing and walk on over here and come in and sit down? We need to suit up. We need to put on our armor. We need to put it on. If you put on the armor of light, you've got to take something off. Paul said you've got to take the darkness off and become visible. And when you become visible, guys, listen to this. You become visible as a man of God, a woman of God, a youth for God. You become valuable. And when you become valuable, all of a sudden you become victorious, and the church is just, you won't be able to contain what would happen in here. When victory after victory after victory starts coming down this aisle. Hey, a couple things, I'm through. There was a boy who went to USC down in Columbia. And on his first weekend there, guys on the hall came down and to get him, said, "We're going out tonight, Columbia. Where are you going?" "Well, we're going down to this club. I want you to go with us." And he said, "Well, I'll ride with you." And he went down to the club, and as they got to the door, of course it was dark, and they started in, and the boy wouldn't go in. So the guy checking ID said, "You look, you're going in, you're gonna stay out, whatever, but you gotta move, you can't stand there." And he said, "Well, I'm not going in." So he walked on back over and was just leaning against the car. One of his buddies came out, was on his hall, and said, "What's the matter? We're going to have a good time tonight, man. It's the first week in school." He said, "I can't go in there. Sorry. Y'all go ahead. I'll wait on you." And they said, "Well, what's the matter?" He said, "When I walked in, he said, man, there's a clock over the bar." He said, "Well, yeah, I know there's a clock over the bar. So what?" He said, "But when I stepped in the doorway, that clock said 9:00. He said, "Well, the night's young. What's your problem?" He said, "Listen, you may not understand this, but all of my life, my family has had devotions at 9 p.m. And right now, my family's at home praying for me. I can't go in there. I'll wait on you guys out here. Wait on you out here. We need to suit up." I thank God for that real testimony from that boy. We were going through the airport in Singapore one time, which we did many times. And there's a crowd of people coming this way. We went, a crowd of people going that way, thousands. And one of the ladies that was in the crowd, probably Singaporean, she had a t-shirt on. And on her t-shirt were English words. And this is what it said, I'll never forget it. It just simply said, "I am in my time." And I wanted to get a picture of that, but she just evaporated into the mass of people. So I stopped, and on my plane ticket packet, I wrote that down, "I am in my time." And I don't know anything that's as shaken us up more than that and caused us to keep going is to realize that, hey folks, this is it. This is us. This is our time. You're alive right now. You won't always be. You're passing through. Somebody said you see a tombstone, there's a birth date and a death date, and there's a dash in between. You're in the dash. What are you going to do with this dash that will make any sense of this life? Let me tell you what. You can become a witness for Jesus Christ on a daily basis, not just a pew sitter. You think that won't make a difference in your life? Come talk to Debbie and me and others I know. I'm going to encourage you to wake up, straighten up, suit up, and get going. There's so many opportunities. If you want to know what they are around here, come see me. Hispanic Church, Fuente de Vida, Operation Care. This is put out by the Billy Graham Organization. I suggest, if you haven't already, Mark's probably got a stack of them, but maybe you should order them. You go on there, billygraham.org, and they'll send them to your house. You can make them available to your Sunday school class. And then as people go out and share it, they can come back and say, "Hey, let me tell you, I gave this to somebody at Fred's the other day, and they looked at it." And you could also put your church address on the back. Invite them to church. Do something. Do something. Take a moment for missions and change a life for eternity. That's what I came to say today. Not putting you down. You're a lovely people who are loved by God. And Jesus has saved you. But not just to sit here. If you're going to save somebody who's in a fire, you've got to get close to them. Let's pray. Father and Lord, thank you for this group that's listening intently today. Our desire is that people be saved. And I pray that we will commit ourselves to just simply sharing and letting your Spirit do the rest. May we be faithful just to share and let your Spirit do the rest. In Jesus' name, I pray. Today may be that you need Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you would just come down here and say, I want to be saved today and get started on this incredible journey. Maybe today the Spirit of God has said, you know what, I want to do that. If I just had a tool that could help me just say, I'd love to share this with you, I would do that. I have a few tracts here. Honestly, we've just given about all we've got, but we'll get you some. If you'd like to come down and say, I'll take what you have, there's probably seven here. Come down and say, give me that, and then share. Or come down and say, I'm going to start this. I'm going to get some tracts. I'm going to be a witness. Come down and do that. Make a commitment, and God will help you do it. We're going to sing a song called Rescue the Perishing. It's number 441. Find that. Let's stand. You come as God moves your heart.